Welcome to the Fabulous by Design podcast. I'm your host, Ivana Ivanik. This show inspires and empowers you to take the next step towards a life you can't stop thinking about. I am bringing in people from all over the world with authentic and inspiring stories. People who change their lives from good to better, from miserable to great, turn tragedy into hope, and start living their dream life on own terms. Grab your favorite note-taking device, lean back, and get inspired. I believe that everything you need to create a life of your dreams is already within you. Welcome to another episode of the Fabulous by Design podcast. Today with me is Holly Blankenship, a nurse, mother, wife, holistic healing and wellness coach. She is on a mission to help overwhelmed women to find peace and joy again. Hello, Holly. I am so excited to have you on the show and have your story inspire others. Please let us know what will we need to understand or to learn about you to understand your journey that has gotten you to this moment. Tired of programs that leave you feeling the same? Rewire is Breathing Space's 12-week journey to unlock your true potential. Wouldn't it be incredible to experience transformation that awakens your most authentic self? No matter where you are on your journey of change, imagine being supported through your breath and connected to your purpose. Daily breathwork practices, deep release sessions, and targeted journaling, this is the work that changes everything. Ready to step into your power? Find the link to join Rewire in the show notes and get your 33% off as a thank you for being a valued member of this fabulous community.
Well, first, I just want to thank you for allowing me this space to share my story. It's so nice to, you know, be able to have this opportunity to reach out. So I think something that's important to know about me is I've been a nurse now for 11 years. I had fertility issues. I have suffered loss. I've gone through kind of a lifetime of anxiety. I just kind of realizing in the last couple of years, like really being able to identify more of like kind of a highly sensitive person and an empath that kind of takes things on and other people's feelings too. And so I think those are all like important things that people kind of know about me going into my story.
Mm-hmm. I would like to speak a little bit more on how you discovered the sensitive part of you. But first, I would like to know what was the biggest catalyst that has literally changed your life and also develop further in your career and life?
Yeah. So experiencing loss during pregnancy was probably the biggest thing that changed my life. I remember when I was going through the grieving process, which was really heavy, at one point I kind of had an epiphany that the grief was either going to make me maybe hardened or allow me to open up my heart more to other people. And luckily, I allowed it to really open up my heart even more to other people and, you know, be able to empathize with different situations and struggles and hardships that people were going through, maybe even if it wasn't exactly the same thing that I was going through. It really put on different glasses for me to be able to kind of see the world in a different perspective of helping other people who, you know, are hurting.
Mm-hmm. Was this something you had clarity from an early stage on? And how, if not, how did this clarity develop? And perhaps when did you have your strength to take action steps and say like, okay, Holly, I would almost say like, oh, I see I can open up through this experience towards others.
Yeah. I mean, it took me a while. So I was a nurse and I'm empathetic and I'm highly sensitive. So obviously, like I knew that, you know, I had the ability to do that. But I think until you actually go through like a hardship, it's one thing to like help people and but if you don't like experience it yourself, you can't truly be able to like feel what they're going through. So in that way, it was different for me to be able to like experience it firsthand. I mean, just even as a nurse on the opposite side during that experience, being the patient, you know, that gave me a lot of clarity of what it's like to be in that position and what that feels like. That made me an even better nurse, you know, just having the experience of knowing, oh my gosh, this is what I needed during that time and I didn't get. And, you know, people who haven't been through, you know, similar experiences, you know, maybe they don't know that. They can't really understand that type of thought process. So I would say that it definitely helped bring me clarity as far as just things that I felt were really supportive for me when I was going through it, what I found really beneficial. And with that being said, like we're all so different, right? So I also acknowledge that what I found very comforting and supportive during that time for me is not going to be the same, you know, for someone else. They could have a different, but I feel like it at least gave me kind of like a general idea of when there's kind of tragedy or something, some things that I can do to show up to be more supportive for people that are going through the same.
I hear you. During my work, several books I've read, there is always, it's showcased either the person who has not found a way out and got lost in grief, adversity, in the pain. Then we have the people who find the courage to ask for help and go through the pain, learn, develop tools that help them sustain themselves and heal. And then we have people who get it to a level that they really get out or find some potential within and go deeper into healing so they are able to represent that on the other side to someone else and help elsewhere. You mentioned in our previous conversation that you felt broken and you were having not enough tools to deal with that. Where
Yeah.
did you start gathering them?
Well, I love those three examples that you gave because while you were talking about them, I literally could see myself in each one of those. In the beginning, I was stuck. I mean, that is literally how I would describe myself. You know, I had a really hard time like doing things and managing that. And then I feel like I've gotten to that third part that you just discussed, where I've been able to do all that work in the healing. And so that I'm able to be that person that the previous version of me was looking for. Because when I felt broken and was going through that period of time, I was literally online, like searching for stories of kind of like life after loss and anything that could like maybe give me hope that I'd be able to feel joy again and that my life wasn't, you know, done because I experienced this huge loss and sadness that just felt like it was continuously weighing on me every day. Like I didn't feel like there was going to be the sunshine and everything. It just all felt really heavy. So yeah, that broken feeling in the beginning was really just that I didn't know how to move forward. I knew I had to. I knew I couldn't keep living in that state, but I literally didn't know what I needed to do for myself so that I could move through that. And I just want to also clarify, like you never get over a loss like this. So it's not like I wanted to get over it. I needed the tools so that I could do my grieving and start taking care of myself so that I could continue just wanting, you know, to get up and go through my day. And so things didn't have to feel so heavy for me all the time. And it was a good, I'd say like this idea of grief too, you know, like when I was going through it, in my head, I thought like, okay, maybe after 4 months, it won't feel this heavy and devastating. And then 4 months came, and maybe I'd have one good day, and I'd think, like, I'm on the upswing. And then, like, the next day would just be back at, like, where I was, square one. So I had really learned to embrace that for me, like, the healing process was not going to be linear. It was going to, like, continuously be kind of like this spiral and circle that goes around. But I did reach out to a therapist, and that was really probably the best thing that I did for myself in those early stages, was I was able to find someone so I could start that journey and get support with.
Thank you for sharing this because it's literally never a linear process, never in life. No matter if it's grief, I personally have never experienced grief or grief in a way that has broken me. I'm still grieving my grandfather. It is a, I would say, a situation that is still a unfinished process because I was young back then. He was, I didn't really have a good connection to my grandparents back in the days. And he was the only one who was cool, so to say, right? I didn't like my grandparents too much. And he was cool and he was the first one who passed away. I was young then and I did not quite understand. Everything went very quick. I wasn't on his funeral because we already lived abroad. So it went quite quick. And every now and then it hits me and be like, oh my God, I haven't sent goodbye to grandpa. However, in my opinion, like the tools I have developed right now is I don't have to say goodbye. Because he's still there watching me. And when my sister got her daughter and she's been at the cemetery, like the little one never met him. And she told me this beautiful story of suddenly this little child being in front of the grave and giggling for no reason. It was a cold afternoon, like there was no reason for this kid to have so much fun in this buggy. So I do believe that every grief process is different, as you say, and the tools we develop are our own tools, and we will always be, or we will always have to put them to work every day, in and out, over the years. And I think this is what you speak about, is that we can experience different emotions at the same time. We can have joy in life and continue our lives and still feel that grief and the loss. Without those emotions interfering each other because they are valid. Is this what you are saying? Because this is what I am experiencing.
You know, there's like this popular thing now, at least where I am, about the two truths. Like, there can be two truths at the same time, like what you were explaining. And so that kind of reminds me of that two truths. Like, you can be very sad of the loss, but you can still be able to experience joy. And then another thing that I found when you were just talking is, like, that you are able to, even though, like, in the moment, you know, maybe it's so heavy and the sadness and everything, but you actually, like, now I have the ability to look back and see kind of those little glimmers, like you were just describing, and it not just be so, like, terribly sad and just all consuming, but be able to see, you know, kind of the story's changed a little bit in my head and has become more one of just like love and how I have the opportunity to love and meet him. And also, like, what I've noticed in the last, because my loss was 7 years ago, and that's really the only reason I'm able to kind of speak about it the way I am. It took me 5 years before I could openly talk about it because it was just still so hard for me. But I've gotten to the point now where I've been able to realize too that, like, going through that process and having to endure that has instilled in me, and it's a gift that he was able to give me, so much strength that I didn't know that I had. And so that's another kind of tying back to feeling like it's almost my responsibility now to share my story, because I've gotten to that point where I've been able to get the strength, and because of that process that I went like and dove kind of deep into the healing, not only with grief, but healing other part of me that needed to be held and healed even before.
I love what you're saying. So there was a part of you finding immediate tools that you could use and work with to go through the very heavy, dark times and stages. And as you went through it, you developed other tools and you have found strengths that you probably would have never encountered. Is this what you're saying?
Yeah, so not only with the therapy, but I also started learning holistic techniques to be able to take care of myself. So, as a highly sensitive person, I was never really taught like any type of techniques to regulate my nervous system. And so I started learning more about that. I found meditation and breath work, certain movements. And so I started doing those things kind of as an accompaniment to help me heal, but then found them as something that kind of helped with my overall self-development. That was something I had little things that started to come up even outside of grief that I started realizing about myself that I was able to start kind of recognizing and doing the work towards that as well.
Thank you for sharing. This is a story that I haven't gotten much on my podcast. Grief and adversity is heavy to discuss openly. And I really appreciate you being here with me, having this conversation. I would like to ask you one more question because you said previously that I knew I had to in this dark space. You knew you had to do something about it. How did you know? What was
I
the
just,
feeling of knowing?
I couldn't go on living that way, you
What is
know?
that way?
Just like such heaviness and sadness that you, I mean, days are really rough when you live inside a space where you don't know if you're going to be able to find happiness and joy again. And so I knew that I couldn't continue living like with so much on me and being in that kind of, stuck position that I couldn't, I don't know if you've ever done like, have you done the future meditation before where you get to go meet your future self?
Yes, I've done it. Yeah. But you may
Yeah.
elaborate
Okay.
for our listeners.
Yeah. So there's this really amazing meditation where you're able to be guided to go meet your future self. And so for me, when I did this was, a woman in her 80s and she was still active and fit and smiling and the sun was out. And she, this was after like I'd gone through kind of the self-development things. But when I went and I went through this practice, she had thanked me for doing the hard work so that I was able to live a life for myself and not what I thought was expected of me. And so I feel like knowing I needed to move out of that spot is I knew that I still wanted to have a life that brought me joy and that there was a possibility to do that. I just didn't know how I was going to be able to get there.
You mentioned that you didn't want to do what was expected of you. What was it that was expected of you?
That came kind of like after. So I went through, the grieving process and of course that like we talked about before, it's not like it just ends, but that set me off on kind of like the self-development. And that's when I realized like I was really in a state where I was kind of keeping myself small. I had that thought process that like if I stayed small and quiet, like everything was safe. And so I started realizing that I was going to have to, if I wanted to really pursue living a life of purpose and joy, I was going to have to deal with that. And so, yeah, it was kind of like I was, in a great job that paid well, and I was taking the promotions as they came, but it didn't feel like that was really my full purpose and that was like truly making me happy. And so working through that and being able to, get to the point where I can put myself out there and be seen and really be able to live a life that's full out. I've within the last couple of years been really stepping more and more into that of, I want to live my life. I want to feel and experience things, and I'm done with that. Like I have to stay small and stay safe. I'm ready to really step out and live a great life for myself.
And I always like to say, you are safe being who you are.
And so last summer, I went and did a river trip down the Grand Canyon. And that's something in my head that I was always kind of honestly a little bit scared of. And I found myself just really wanting to do the things that used to scare me. And what was amazing about it is in my head, I had built up, like, oh my gosh, this rafting trip and I'm going to be holding on and it's just going to be terrifying. It was so much fun.
You let go of control.
So the story in my head was just like kind of this crazy, chaotic, we're going to be holding on for our dear life and I'm going to be so scared and I'm not going to be able to enjoy it. And it was so much fun. I allowed myself to like meet new people and do like, I went cliff jumping and I stood under waterfalls and I did these things that I probably the previous version of me wouldn't have done. Would have maybe just kind of like stayed back, but the new version of me was like, let's experience life to the fullest.
Beautiful. I think this is such a beautiful story to grow through, and to I'm really trying to, to put myself into your shoes and to go through these trips, and how when I see your face, sparkling when you speak about it, and when that you dare to say that the old version, no matter what has happened, that you wouldn't have never done that, and this fuels you today, and probably gives you the energy to continue the healing and do the work you do today, no matter what. And I wanted to tap into the topic of being highly sensitive, because I am highly sensitive. I made my discovery very late, and wondering around my entire lifetime, why do I feel the way I feel? Why do I feel not joyful going after work when I used to work in the corporate, having after work drinks with people? I saw everybody rushing out the office, being like, let's go, let's do. And I was running home overwhelmed. Now I can verbalize it, right? And it really took me all the way till 2019 when I finally quit the job and set up my home office, that being protected from the noise, being protected from constant impact, has given me the energy back to go after work and meet people, because I honestly love people. I love humanity and I love those connections. And I just needed to find my ways on how to deal with that. How is it for you to be a highly sensitive person and put yourself out there, as you just mentioned?
It's a constant, like I have to really do a good job of like using all the tools that I help other people with to keep myself regulated and not allow myself to become overwhelmed and get into that overthinking and stuff that can be somewhat natural for me to do. So it's like an ongoing thing, there's not like the one type fix. And I love how you shared your story because I used to always just think and describe myself as an introvert who wanted to be an extrovert but has like a low social battery. And I myself didn't really kind of discover this highly sensitive person trait until recently. And I thought, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. Like the way that I feel. And I'd experienced that, ever since childhood, just, having to kind of take those moments to be able to sit and quiet and calm myself and find different things to soothe myself. And so that all kind of made sense as well once I was like, oh, this anxiety and everything that I feel like I've experienced my whole life, I think like nervous system was just really getting overwhelmed all the time too.
Yeah,
And
it
so I
was
had to,
feeding.
find ways to like regulate it on the regular. That's the thing too. Like, it's not like you go do a couple workouts for the week and you're good. Like, you have to really keep on top of it.
I always say to put it in a way that I enjoy it. It's a lifestyle. Holly, what are your biggest traits that you have discovered and that I'm just going to assume are serving you today in your work as well?
Learning that I am resilient. I think once you're able to find different ways to deal with things in healthy ways, a lot of the holistic things, the meditation, breath work, all of those things, you are able to kind of experience life a little less of the high peaks and the, roller coaster. So I feel like I've been building more of like a foundation of resilience where I'm able to like ride the waves a little bit more smooth and less like, oh no, what's going on? Everything's out of control. So I have definitely found that I've developed a lot of resilience and strength.
I think it's a very beautiful discovery to make and experiencing life with less high waves, as you say. Then, because we literally can't avoid, it's out of our control to control adversity or life happens, right? No matter how much we try to control it, and being able to deal with the external things that we cannot control, I think it's a great gift to have that in your pocket or in your backpack and just be able to get it out whenever you need it. The way I speak about it now, it's very it's very simplified, but this is what it is in the end. And I think this is what also allows us to tap quicker into joy.
I agree.
Yeah. So, dear listener, if you have found this helpful for yourself or you know someone who needs to hear that, feel free to share this episode. Feel free to connect with us. You will find everything you need to get to know about Holly in the show notes. Leave us a comment on Spotify, a review on Apple Podcasts, so we know that you are enjoying these conversations and we can produce more of this to support you on your journey. Before we round up this conversation, Holly, I would love to ask you one more question. What do people misunderstand the most about you?
I'm actually really fun. I feel like when you like, talk about your loss and grief, people might paint a picture of you as like, the sad girl. But I'm actually a lot of fun. So yeah, I feel like maybe that's not completely understood sometimes when people see me from the outside.
Yes, I can feel that. I think that everybody around you, until they know, will be careful approaching you and being like, can we have now fun together? Or is she sad? Or is she still sad? What do you have an advice for someone who is literally struggling with approaching someone with grief or going through hard moments? How can we approach someone with less awkwardness and with less, restricting ourselves from really having fun with that person, because you are fun. Like your smile is contagious.
Thank you. Well, I would have people that would come up to me and just say, I don't know what to say. And I would say back to them, I don't even know what to say to myself, So I really appreciated when people would even just kind of like send me a text, just like, just so you know, like I'm here. You don't have to respond to this. Because there were days and times I didn't want to respond. It was also for me personally. It was comforting when people would, drop off like food at my doorstep or maybe like a basket with self-care items and a card. And again, tell me like you don't have to come out, but just to know that they were there was really comforting. Even if I didn't want to maybe talk that day or see anyone that day, just having people give me the opportunity to feel supported, but also give me the opportunity to have space was really a great thing for me during that process.
Thank you for sharing. I think this is a very helpful tip for everybody who feels uncomfortable in the situation, because I think being there for someone and the person knowing that someone is there without having to meet any expectations is definitely something that helps us pave the path forward and getting out of adversity and what we feel without
Yeah.
pressure. Yeah. Thank you for sharing, Holly. I appreciate your story. I appreciate your time, your vulnerability. And I know that this is gonna find so many people who will benefit from you showing up and being brave for us. Thank you.
Thank you.